And the next case for argument, United States versus Brisson, Mr. Byrd.
May it please the court, your honors, Mr. Versman, Mr. Bindi, good morning. My name is Mark Byrd and I represent Michael Brisson, the appellant in this case. Your honors, Mr. Brisson is currently serving a period of 30 months imprisonment in the Federal Bureau of Prisons facility at Oxford, Wisconsin. I'm here today to advance two arguments in support of our request that this court vacate that sentence and remand it back to
what would his sentence be if you prevailed on the grouping issue?
Your Honor, if we prevailed on the grouping issue, the sentencing range would have dropped by one level under the guidelines. He was currently sentenced at 30 to 37 months, being a level 19. I believe he would be then a level 18, and his range would be 24 to 30 months. The first argument that I wish to advance, however, is on the issue of the overall reasonableness of the sentence in light of...
It's a very light sentence.
Well, Your Honor, we feel that the facts support an even lighter sentence in this case.
I don't get that.
Well, Your Honors, initially, Mr. Brisson presented himself to the court as a criminal history category 1 with zero criminal history points. As a gentleman who was in his late 40s at the time, we think that that speaks to a relative law-abiding life up until the point in time in which he became...
Well, it just means he hasn't been caught and prosecuted, right? So
perhaps not, Judge. This
could have a
this
long
individual's
history of criminal activity, right?
Well, that is a possibility, but that's certainly not in the record in this case.
But what is in the record in this case is a pretty significant amount of money that he's kiting and he's depositing these things, these fraudulent loans, defrauding. I mean, it's actually a fair amount of financial fraud, or activity, the tax activity, the fraud activity.
Your Honor's correct. It approaches close to $500,000 in terms of the stipulated amount of loss under the guidelines.
And it appears that even more might have been, even on this record. I'm not sure that 30 months... You know, when you're looking at this drug guy we just talked about with his 10 years, is such a terrible sentence. Certainly it's the guideline sentence, which we've said is presumptively reasonable and even happens to overlap the two ranges you're talking about.
I would just remind Your Honor that that was the amount stipulated to for purposes of proceeding to sentencing. At the time the matter proceeded to sentencing, the bank was still in possession of the hotel, and as of this date, I'm not certain whether or not the bank actually sustained loss. Perhaps the bank was sold at a value that would have allowed it to recoup much of what was lost by stipulation as we proceeded to sentencing. However, Your Honor's point is noted. This is a substantial amount of loss, and it doesn't necessarily lend itself to comparison with a drug case, of course.
Why not?
Well, Your Honor, the demonstration...
In that drug case, that defendant... In the state court prosecution, the last case we had, if he had a real tough judge, would have got about 2 years. He got 10 years here in federal court.
I understand.
It's hard to look at this case. And
well, it puts you in a not-so-enviable position of having to weigh the societal ills from possessing with intent to deliver narcotic substances versus what is essentially financial.
I think this is worse, personally.
Well, Congress,
might be just my
respectfully,
opinion.
Your Honor, Congress disagrees when it creates a scenario where...
Well, it disagrees, but that doesn't mean that we should be straining to give lenient sentences to these swindlers.
That's understood, Your Honor. Our point is not that he should have, that anyone should strain to give him a lenient sentence, but perhaps in examining the Section 3553A goals, the societal goals that can be served under those various factors could best be met through a merciful sentence, such as
Why?
Probation.
I don't understand. Why,
well, for one thing,
does mercy do? Just encourages these people.
Not necessarily, Judge. One thing that in this particular situation, mercy might have accomplished.
You steal and then you give the money back. Well, you know, of course, you hope to get away with it.
Well, one of the goals of the criminal justice system being the reforming and rehabilitation of the offender.
Well, really, you think a judge is supposed to give weight to this religious conversion?
I don't think it hurts the defendant's position any, Your Honor, and I think it's a consideration that goes toward the likelihood.
I understand that. It's so phony. Anybody can, you know, convert and say, you know, I've discovered God and now I'm a good person. Why would a judge give any weight to that?
Well, Your Honor, in this scenario, it was much more than that. There were numerous letters that were presented, and I grant you could go out, anybody can write a letter.
I understand.
But it does.
Why waste time in a sentencing hearing with
such stuff? I thought it was interesting he's going to get a $200,000 a year salary being a consultant to the church.
And that was on the table at the time, Your Honors. And that, I think, goes specifically to the 3553A factor of the need to provide restitution to the victim.
I mean, that would be terrible to let him go and have an income like that.
Well, Your Honors,
I want to just back up on the 3553A because at least in this circuit, and I realize this is some circuits take a different view, but we've become fairly established. The initial thought is that the guidelines ranges themselves were an attempt anyway to meet the 3553A factors, which is why we said at least rebuttably we'll presume it's reasonable. Sometimes a particular factor in a particular case might not match up, but it's not like they're two entirely separate universes, the 3553A factors, and then over here the guideline range. There is an effort to capture these concepts in the ranges of the guidelines. And he got a guideline sentence. Actually, he got, by the time the judge did all this grouping and everything, he got the lowest sentence he could get under the guidelines.
I agree, Your Honor. The guidelines do take into account the policy factors set forth in 3553A. The guidelines also, prior to Booker, allowed a district court judge to depart from those guidelines if the court felt that it was a case that did not fall into the heartland of cases presented
of that
nature.
Right, and Judge Reinhart knew that at the time, and I'm sure he was well aware that if he had thought that it would be, for some reason, more reasonable to give him 28 months instead of 30, you know, he could have done that. I don't think he was unaware of this.
Without question, Your Honor's correct.
The only thing unusual about this case is he wants to buy his way out of prison.
Well, Your Honor, it's not exactly a situation such as an individual who might be convicted of tax evasion yet has an immense amount of wealth. Or a Martha Stewart type of scenario where the person is independently wealthy aside from their crimes, therefore they can afford to pay the restitution outright. And we kind of got into a little bit of an analysis of that at the sentencing hearing here when the trial judge, the district court judge, inquired as to why the defendant had not made efforts to pay restitution up until the point of sentencing. It's one of those situations where, from a defendant's standpoint, it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. If the restitution is paid during the interim out of his current salary, well, then the government's arguing that he's trying to buy his way out. It's very similar to Your Honor's last point. But by the same token, if he decides to wait until after the sentencing and start paying the restitution, then he's faulted for not demonstrating his
willingness. No, he's not going to be criticized for paying restitution.
No, Your Honor, but
he's not going to be criticized. His question is whether, you know, being a criminal who has lined up some lucrative, lawful employment, he should be given credit for that.
Well, employment is always an issue that I think that a sentencing judge should look at in terms of a defendant's likelihood of recidivism, a defendant's likelihood of being able to go forward and maintain a law-abiding, productive life as a good and productive citizen. I don't think that the court should ever divorce itself from a defendant's work history when it's fashioning a sentence. In this particular case, it's simply our point
that... So what would you consider an appropriate sentence for him if you were the judge?
If I were the judge, Your Honor, I think an appropriate sentence in this case would be one that would have coupled home monitoring with the requirement.
Concretely.
I'm sorry?
Concretely, what sentence would you impose?
I would impose a sentence of periodic imprisonment that would allow work release with conditions that he pay a set amount of that $200,000 a year salary toward the restitution of the victims in this case. It's a rare circumstance that you see an individual come out of federal prison with a high school education and the ability to go to work and command a six-figure salary, and thereby enabling him to pay the restitution.
Why did he turn to crime?
Your Honor, that was the $200,000 a year salary came after all of the events that were the subject of this indictment.
That's very strange. Somehow his criminal activities qualified him for lucrative lawful appointment, or what?
Well, Judge, if it was simply a matter of greed, the defendant had some 40 years of existence where you would expect to see a pattern of economic offenses.
Why did he turn to crime?
Your Honor, he got involved in this hotel and by his own admission got caught up in the, he was greedy, I guess, for lack of a better term, and we admit that. That led to a perpetuating cycle where he was then taking the employment tax monies that were to be paid over and utilizing them for his own personal expenses as well as to operate the business as a going concern. Your Honors, with respect to these issues, and I see I'm out of time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Your Honor. Thank you.
Mr. Versman?
Hey, Police Court, Mr. Berg, based on the counsel's argument and the panel's questions of him, I really have nothing additional to add in addition to the arguments that are in the briefs. So with that, I would ask respectfully that the court affirm the sentence and the judgment of the district court.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Versman. And thank you, Mr. Byrd. You were appointed, were you not?
Yes, I was.
Well, we thank you for your vigorous efforts on behalf of the